Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Michael Loy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. Boy, how about those sons of bitches, huh? They tried to lie us into a third war? Is this an impeachable offense yet? We'll get to the National Intelligence Estimate that came out today. 16 of our crack intelligence agencies are all on the same page. Bush and Cheney have been lying through their teeth for months, trying to lie us into another war. Is that impeachable? Well, look, I'm not going to get upset tonight. I really am not. I'm going to sit here and drink my Kona Peaberry dark roast coffee from Super Beans and just say to hell with it. You know, we'll just talk about it tonight. This is great coffee. Oh, my God. We have our usual religious stuff to begin with here. The teddy bear teacher has been freed from jail. She's probably back in the UK at this point. She was handed over to British officials in the Sudan, I think, today. She was freed after 8 days in custody. Saddam's president, Omar al-Bashir, the one who is murdering, committing genocide in the southern part of Sudan, pardoned her after talks with two members of the British Parliament. In a statement, the teacher, Ms. Gibbons, apologized for any distress she may have caused, and the British Prime Minister said he was delighted at the results. Gordon Brown said he was delighted to have her freed. How do they used to say it? The TikTok. God, I hate that. The timeline. The TikTok on Gillian Gibbons' situation is as follows. On the 25th of November, she was arrested for insulting Islam's prophet. 2 days later, Gordon Brown, the British PM, said efforts would be made to release her. The next day, the 28th, she's charged with insulting religion and inciting hatred. The day after that, on the 29th, a Sudanese court finds her guilty of insulting Islam. Sentenced her to 15 days in prison and deportation. The next day, November 30th, angry protesters in Khartoum with their machetes and knives and clubs and sticks and whatever the hell else they had, screaming for a harsher sentence like death. Then yesterday, two British Muslim peers. Does that means members of parliament? I've forgotten. Oh, my God. Anyway, they press Sudanese officials to pardon her, and today Ms. Gibbons is pardoned and freed from prison. She issued a statement today that said, "I have great respect for the Islamic religion and would not knowingly offend anyone, and I am sorry if I caused any distress." She went on to say, "I'm looking forward to seeing my family and friends. I'm very sorry that I will be unable to return to Sudan to work at Unity High School as a teacher." And Ibrahim Mogra, who is with the Muslim Council of Britain, said, quote, "I have not come across one single Muslim in our country," that would be the UK, "who has supported what has happened in Sudan." Oh, these people turn my stomach. That's part one of weird religious news. I know that's redundant, but we'll put it that way anyway. This weekend, Pope Benedict XVI, the former Nazi, issued a new encyclical. And it's a 75-page document. And in it, the Nazi Pope urged the world to adopt Christianity, his brand, and said that atheism, quote, led to the greatest forms of cruelty and violations of justice, end quote, specifically in the form of Marxist ideology. He went on to say, let us put it very simply, man needs God. Otherwise, he remains without hope, end quote. Well, Ellen Johnson, who's the president of American Atheists, said, quote, Benedict needs to go back to school and study history. The most noxious and oppressive tyranny inevitably cloaks its misdeeds in the rationale of religious faith. It is the values that originated with the Enlightenment and secularism which offers humanity the real hope in the form of freedom, progress, and diversity, end quote. She also disagreed with the claim that communism or Marxism or both was a necessary component of atheism. She said, quote, those regimes didn't justify their violation of human rights on atheism. For them, just like fanatical theocracies, it was and is all about power, not reason. Yeah, you know, that really pisses me off, too, the same way as it bothers Ellen Johnson, president of American Atheists. Because Stalin claimed to be an atheist, because Mao claimed to be an atheist, yada, 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 because these people claimed to be atheists, then A follows, or B follows A, and C follows both of them. Well, obviously, then, it was their murderous atheism that led them to commit the atrocities that they committed, which is nonsense. It was their lust for power. It doesn't make any difference whether or not... When did Hitler, or a matter of fact, Hitler was a Christian of a sort. When did Mao or Stalin, or Pol Pot, or George Bush, for that matter... forget him. When did those guys stand up and say, in the name of atheism, I'm going to condemn 30 million people to their deaths? So the Pope is saying, well, it's time to convert to Christianity. Just like militant Islam, militant Christianity is causing so much of the suffering on this poor, sad, tired planet. It is so sad, isn't it? Dave Silverman, who is the communications director for American Atheists, said, the pathway to peace is accountability and truth, not deflection and defamation. He goes on to say, whether it's the Pope or some Ayatollah or other preacher, none of these religious leaders seem to think that freedom and the separation of church or mosque or temple and government are good things. We do, he says. Yeah. Well, I would go farther, Dave, and say it would just make such wonderful sense to rid the world of religious superstition for once and for all. I really would. How about Larry? You know, Larry Craig is adding new meaning to the term Craigslist, isn't he? What was it? Eight people came out today, eight men, and said, yeah, we know Larry in a biblical sense. We really do. Craigslist. Oh, we're not finished with the religious stuff yet. No lashes today on Chris Comer. She is the Texas Science Curriculum Director, and she was forced out of office after she sent an email to some friends and co-workers that announced a speech, an upcoming speech by Barbara Forrest. Now, who is she? She's the co-author of a book entitled Creationism's Trojan Horse, The Wedge of Intelligent Design. And she was also an expert witness in the case up in Dover, PA, a couple of years ago. That was the one where parents were upset with the school board's decision to teach this malarkey, this intelligent design crap, as a scientific theory comparable to evolution, and a federal judge there sided with the parents, and legally established intelligent design as religion, not science. But apparently in Texas, they didn't get the message. So Chris Comer did not get, she wasn't threatened with 40 lashes, she was just threatened with and has now lost her ability to earn her living, at least in Texas. She said she resigned under pressure from officials who said she had given the appearance of criticizing the teaching of intelligent design. Well, if she's the state's science curriculum director, well, yes. What is she supposed to do? The Texas Education Agency put her on 30 days paid administrative leave, resulting in what Ms. Comer says is a forced resignation. She held her position for 9 years, and she said she believed that evolution politics, there's a term, were behind her ousting. She said none of the other reasons they gave are in and of themselves firing offenses. Oh, my God. The benevolent wise are being thwarted out to size. What a bummer. The world keeps getting dumber. Its sensitivity is standard. And faith is being fancied over reason. It's always rolling over in his coffin. The cynics are surviving much less often. Now everything seems to be reversing. And it's worse things.
Foreign policy decisions on some things that I think are true. One, I believe there's an Almighty.
It's about 22 past the hour. Okay, let's go from the ridiculous to the ridiculouser. The religious nonsense, which never fails to just astound me. I guess it's because I am a total non-believer in this nonsense. But to think that global decisions, decisions that involve the lives and deaths, the physical lives and deaths of hundreds of thousands, millions of people are made on the basis of religious superstition, to me is just, it's just insane. I mean, really pushed. I guess I would say, all right, look, if somebody wants to believe in a hereafter and a supernatural kind of plane of existence, okay, but why do you have to threaten to cut someone's throat because they don't happen to share that particular belief? Why do you stand up and identify something called a person's immortal soul and then say that aspect of the person is going to be cast into eternal hellfire if that person doesn't believe the way you believe? That's the stuff that is stomach churning and stomach turning, and it makes me sick. And then these crazy-ass Muslims over in Sudan running around with their machetes up in the air about killing this woman whose students named a teddy bear Muhammad. I get so sick of it. And then this ridiculous Nazi Pope deciding that, oh, well, the world has to be Christian, as he puts it. What he means is Catholic, because there are millions upon millions upon millions of Christians who are not Catholic. I don't know what the Pope thinks about them. I guess they're going to burn in hell, too. I have no idea. All of these people are disgustingly mad. But moving from that to something not quite as insane, but almost, what is the Sixth Amendment all about? A speedy and public trial, impartial jury, where the crime allegedly was committed, to be informed of why it is you've been charged with a crime. What else? The ability to question the witnesses that the state brings against you. And the right to counsel, the right to have an attorney to assist you in your defense. That last one on the theory that because you were charged with a crime anywhere from shoplifting to multiple murders, you're going to be a little bit too sticky in the brain to try to defend yourself. All right, all of that is guaranteed in the Sixth Amendment. But it doesn't apply in Bush world. Defense lawyers preparing for the war crimes trial of a 21-year-old Guantanamo detainee who has been a Guantanamo detainee, I think, for the past 6 years. Yeah, he was 15 But, well, I'll get to that in a second. But this young man is 21, and the defense lawyers trying to defend him have been ordered by a military judge not to tell this guy or anyone the identity of the witnesses against him. This is the first Guantanamo prosecution to go to trial, and it may happen as soon as May. Military prosecutors have sought, according to the New York Times, have sought similar orders to keep the names of witnesses secret in other military commission cases. And, of course, that's the centerpiece of the Bush administration's policies for detainees at Guantanamo. Military tribunal charges, where you don't know what the charges are. This is like Kafka. This is exactly Kafkaesque. And only it's not Kafka. It is the United States of America. We're not going to tell you what the charges are. We're going to tell you what the charges are. We're not going to tell you where they come from. We're not going to tell you who levied the charges. We're not going to allow you to confront the people against you or see the evidence they presented. And we're not going to allow your attorney to tell you anything about this. I love this. Defense lawyers say the order would hamper their ability to build an adequate defense because they cannot ask their client or anyone else about prosecution witnesses, making it difficult to test the veracity of the testimony. Difficult? Oh my God. This kid, Omar Ahmed Kader, is represented, his military defense lawyers, Navy Lieutenant Commander William Keebler. Commander Keebler said that while he has been given a list of prosecution witnesses, the judge's decision requires him to keep secret from his client the name of the people accusing him. The commander said the whole thing treats his client as if he had already been convicted, and it deprived him of a trial at which the public could assess the evidence against him. There's more on this. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. Before the hour, so the first Guantanamo trial, if it happens, scheduled for this May, and the defense lawyers are being instructed that they cannot discuss with the accused, who was a 15-year-old kid at the time, anything about the case, any of the evidence against him, where it comes from, who says it, how to defend against it, nothing. And as the lieutenant commander, the naval lieutenant commander who is charged with defending Omar Khadr, boy, you talk about a career buster. That's what this lieutenant commander is facing. He's out of the Navy. When this is over, no matter how it goes, he's gone, especially if he wins. The commander says, instead of a presumption of innocence in a public trial, we start with a presumption of guilt and a secret trial. Oops, commander. You never, ever, ever should have said that. You are going to wind up with an administrative hearing if you're not careful, right? Now, most of the witnesses in this kid's case are expected to be military personnel who took part in a firefight in Afghanistan in 2002 when an American Special Forces soldier, Sergeant First Class Christopher James Spear, who was 28, was fatally wounded. The defendant, Omar Khadr, was 15 at the time, and he was badly injured. So somehow, in the in the insanity of battle, apparently enough charges or enough witnesses and testimony, and you do you believe this, was gathered to prove that the, or to build a case that a 15-year-old is responsible for the ultimate death, fatally wounded, the ultimate death of an American soldier. And in order to get the conviction, the U.S. military is denying the defense attorney any of the evidence, any of the witnesses, denying everything. A lawyer in New York, Josh Dratel, who represented another detainee prosecuted for war crimes, described the orders in this case as an Orwellian effort to hamstring defense lawyers while making it appear that detainees are rigorously represented. Oh, yeah, they got the best defense there is, huh? Mr. Dratel said, it is the novel 1984. No system in the United States operates this way. Well, this one does. That's the kind of stuff that makes it that another stomach-churning, stomach-turning Bush crime family moment. To hell with the Sixth Amendment. It doesn't mean anything. And you know how many Americans would say, well, you're goddamn right. That's a goddamn terrorist. He was picked up on the goddamn battlefield. That's what. Yeah. And all those people are going to vote for Giuliani or some Republican freak. Now, if that's not enough, okay? If that's not enough, how about this? A highly decorated Arab-American sergeant in the U.S. Army who is currently serving as a paratrooper in Afghanistan faces deportation as soon as he returns to the United States from a combat zone because of an irregularity in his immigration papers. Now, his name is Sergeant Hicham Benkabu. He has been served with an order to stand trial for deportation as soon as he arrives home, despite the fact that he's been on active service in Afghanistan for almost 2 years with the 508th Parachute Infantry Regiment, also known as the Red Devils. His lawyers say his treatment illustrates the harsh justice handed out to Arab Americans by U.S. immigration authorities. Now, this guy came to the United States from his native Morocco in 1987, 20 years ago. He was granted a permanent residency 4 years ago. But when he applied to become a U.S. citizen 2 years ago, by which time he was already serving in the Army, immigration officials discovered that he had failed to register his first marriage and alleged that the ceremony had been arranged fraudulently to get him into this country. Now, Mr. Benkabu says that the marriage was annulled and argues it is therefore irrelevant to his immigration status. He said, quote, I do not think I deserve to get deported after serving honorably during a time of war. He goes on, he says, I can read, write, and speak Arabic, French, and English. I have earned the respect and confidence of my superiors, and I'll be a great asset for our country if given the opportunity to become a U.S. citizen. Now, his case has been taken up by the Association of Patriotic Arab Americans in the military. I didn't even know there was such a thing, did you? That represents about 3,500 Arab Americans serving in the United States military. And also, the Anti-Discrimination Committee for Arab Americans, the ADC, has also filed a protest. The prosecution of this case has surprised even immigration lawyers, who point to a directive from the Department of Immigration that advises officials against pressing to deport acting military personnel unless they have been involved in drug trafficking, crimes against children, or violence, or unless they pose a danger to the public. Mr. Benkabu's irregularity over his marriage does not fall into any of those categories. Now, he has a lawyer here in Atlanta, a guy named Paul Ford, who said the only explanation he, the lawyer, could find was that his client was a Muslim. And attorney Ford said that sets off all the buzzards. if you have a Muslim involved in this. There's no question the Arab Americans are given a totally different treatment, end quote. Now, Attorney Ford said that Mr. Benkhabou had been accused of being a terrorist by officials from the Immigration Enforcement Agency. The attorney said in court, the ICE lawyers called Morocco a terrorist country, which, the attorney said, I found astonishing. And because my client left there 20 years ago and is now a paratrooper! He's also a terrorist. Spokesman for the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services said that under privacy laws, the department could not discuss individual cases. Now, what do his comrades think? Several commanding officers have offered support to Sergeant Benkhabou, Lieutenant Colonel Peterman. Said, quote, it is not an understatement to say that Sergeant Benkhabou has been instrumental in sustaining the 508th Parachute Infantry Regiment during this combat deployment to Afghanistan. He is a leader, a problem solver, and possesses the physical gifts of a U.S. paratrooper. Oh, my God. So that's what's waiting Sergeant Benkhabou if and when he returns from combat in one of Bush's two wars out of three that Bush was going to initiate. The one in Afghanistan, that never should have occurred. Never. If Bush really wanted to go after the madrasas, the alleged training schools of Muslim terrorists, well then what Bush should have done was immediately started bombing Saudi Arabia. But as we all know or should know by now, it had nothing to do in 2002 with the attack on this country, had nothing to do with getting the Taliban. What it had to do with were rights to build a pipeline across Afghanistan. Oh my God. Don't you ever think sometimes that, you know, maybe we've all had enough? Before I get to the story in the Times, the headline this afternoon on its website, U.S. says Iran ended atomic arms work 4 years ago. Before we get to all of that, I got an email from Mike in St. Paul before the program, and he said, among other things, you know things are bad when Lou Dobbs starts to make sense. Apparently, and I missed this, but Mike writes, Lou Dobbs said tonight, that George W. deserves, quote, a smack across the face, end quote, for leading this country in the direction he has taken us. And then Mike writes, well, I don't agree with Lou all that much, but I will miss his show, nevertheless. A smack? Lou Dobbs said that on television? That George W. Bush deserves a smack across the face? Really? You're kidding me. I'd like to see the video of that. But Mike's got a little bit more in here that we'll talk about in a second. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Us. And above us. Only sky. Imagine all the people, living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It is not hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion, too. Good idea. Imagine all the people, living side by side. Peace. You can say, I am a dreamer.
are listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. So Lou Dobbs apparently said tonight that George W. Bush deserves a smack across the face for leading this country in the direction he has taken us. Woo! I wonder if the Secret Service has interviewed Dobbs yet this evening. That must have been about, let's see, it's almost 10 o'clock Eastern, and Dobbs is on from, what, 7 to 8 now? So within the past 2 hours, I would imagine that Dobbs got a phone call. And the other thing Mike talked about in his email here is, how about that Vladimir Putin, as Bush so eloquently pronounces it, Vladimir Putin. I looked into his heart and I trust him. Remember that crap Putin eliminated freedom of the press in post-communist Russia. He's jailed political opponents. He's promoted thugs who have ordered assassinations, most notably Alexander Litvinenko, a former Russian security agent who was poisoned at a British restaurant. Mike's referring to an article in Newsweek where Putin talks about, among other things, people in the West that served Putin in the same way that Stalin referred to people in the West as, quote, useful idiots, end quote. Who do you suppose Putin was referring to as a useful idiot? Can you imagine how Putin must have gone home, stuck his finger down his throat, and gagged when he heard George Bush say, I do business with him, I looked into his soul. Yeah, I looked into his soul. He's a man I can trust. I looked into his heart. And then the third thing about Romney giving a speech this Thursday to assure Americans he will neither request nor take advice from the leadership of the Mormon Church. Wow, just like John Kennedy, huh? The only difference is that Kennedy was one of us. He wasn't a morally rigid prude like Romney appears to be. Mike writes, what I find hilarious about this story is that Fundy Christians have this mistrust about Mormons because the Mormons believe that the Garden of Eden was located in Missouri and that Jesus appeared in America after he died. Yeah, Mike writes, how silly. Almost as silly as the Protestant belief of some guy changing water into wine and walking on water and floating up to heaven, only to send the Holy Spirit down in the form of fire to help the 12 disciples speak in all languages to spread the word. But all that happened in Israel, not America. Yeah, those Mormons are really weird, unlike those Fundy Protestants who have such a rational and mature faith. It's like Dracula meets Frankenstein, if you ask me. I wish they would all shut the hell up and leave us alone, Mike writes. Why is Romney going to give a speech that, you know, immediately the pundits, all these freaks on television said, well, it's just like when John Kennedy was a Catholic, and, you know, the last Catholic that ran was Al Smith, and he got defeated because, you know, the Pope and everything, and Kennedy came out and said, I'm an American, blah, 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 blah. What has that got to do with Mitt Romney? It reminds me of that speech that, who was it that was running against, that famous speech, it was during the vice presidential debates, and you know, for the life of me, I can't think of the name of George Bush Sr.'s vice president, the senator from Indiana, what the hell was his name? No, don't email me, that's right. But he made some kind of a Kennedy remark, and the Democrats said, you know, I knew John Kennedy. John Kennedy was a friend of mine. And trust me, Senator, you're no John Kennedy. And the audience just howled. Remember that? Well, that's what Romney, this whole thing with Romney reminds me of. Romney going out to tell the American public, he's going to tell the Christian fundies in this country that it's okay, that he's safe. Mitt, yo. It's not going to work. Kennedy was a Catholic. They believed the same as the Protestants, except for, you know, a few differences in doctrine. But yo, Mitt, You're not a Christian. You're a Mormon. And the fundies in this country are going to listen to what you have to say and give you the finger. Don't you get it? And besides, you don't have an Ice Cube's chance in hell of becoming president of the U.S. I think he wants to use his presidential campaign as a means of working his way into the presidency of the Mormon Church, which is probably where he belongs. It's crazy. It's almost fun. It's so crazy. Except for the fact that so many lives are in the balance. Speaking of which, when we come back after this lengthy break that is coming up in just about a minute, we're going to talk about the big news today. And that is the fact that there has been a, what do they call it? An NIE, National Intelligence Estimate on Iran's nuclear program. And what was decided was, but this is by 16 intelligence agencies in this country, that Iran stopped work on their program 4 years ago. Bush and Cheney have known this for months and months and months and months. Energy Secretary Badman, is that his name, has known it for months and months and months. And yet, just 2.5 weeks ago, Badman made a speech where he once again referred to the immediacy of Iran's nuclear weapons program. This is I've got to be careful here because I can really just lose it over this particular story. And really start, I would never say anything as awful as what Lou Dobbs said tonight, that Bush should be smacked across the face. I can't believe that Lou Dobbs really said that. Well, somebody will send me the YouTube video, I'm sure. All right, stick around. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. When you think about the disaster that the Bush-Cheney administration has been, the time lost in this country, we're concerned pressing problems that the Bush crime family has now made almost unsolvable, the destruction of our reputation around the globe, the time lost in preparing for this horror of global climate change, the two, almost three wars that these son of a bitches have tried to get us into, you know, when you take a look at the broad scope of what these people have done in the past 7 years, it is mind-breaking. I think it speaks volumes as to the resiliency of the people in this country that somehow we've managed to survive. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about decent people. Not only have we had to deal with the Bush crime family and these pig-headed morons on radio and television, but we've also had to deal with, at one time, a majority of our population thinking that George W. Bush was Jesus's brother. And somehow, those of us on the left managed to keep breathing, to keep our heads out of the muck that these filthy bastards have covered this country in, and keep breathing for the entire country. It's like the Democrats, the liberals, the progressives, the people on the left, we have been the lungs of this society for 7 years as Bush and his cohorts tried to smother us. And they almost, by God, succeeded. Well, the headline on the Times website this afternoon, U.S. says Iran ended atomic arms work, colon. Report contradicts prior intelligence assessment. The New York Times just infuriates me. It doesn't contradict a prior intelligence assessment. It contradicts the filthy lies of the Bush crime family. A couple of comments here from Institute for Public Accuracy, on whose mailing list I am. The first one comes from Reese Ehrlich, who's foreign correspondent and the author of the new book, The Iran Agenda, The Real Story of U.S. Policy in the Middle East Crisis. He said today, the national intelligence estimate released today has been suppressed by the Bush administration since February. It clearly indicates that the White House and Vice President Cheney in particular have been lying about the nuclear threat from Iran as part of a conscious effort to whip up public support for bombing Iran. And then he adds, the U.S. continues its covert war against Iran using Kurdish and other minority group organizations to blow up buildings inside that country, kill soldiers and civilians. All factions in the White House continue to seek the overthrow of the Iranian government in complete violation of international law and the 1981 Algiers Accord signed by the U.S. and Iran, which prohibit political or military interference in the internal affairs of Iran. My God. I mean, we are actively promoting death and destruction inside Iran, and we have the unmitigated gall to say, well, some of the parts for these roadside explosive devices are coming from Iran. The effort to get you and me and the rest of America whipped into a war frenzy that these pigs in the Bush administration have been involved in for the past, what, year and a half, 2 years, 3 years? Has only worked on the mouth-breathing right-wing religious fundamentalists in this country who beg for a war of that magnitude so that Jesus will be happy and come back and kill all the Jews and take all the good Christians to heaven. That's how sick it's become. Mohammed Sahimi, who is a professor of chemical engineering, University of Southern California, he writes on U.S.-Iranian relations. He said today, quote, after nearly two decades of accusing Iran of having a secret nuclear weapons program, the United States is finally acknowledging that Iran does not have such a program. This is completely in line with what the Iranian government has been saying all along, that its nuclear facilities that have been declared to the International Atomic Energy Agency are the only facilities that it has, and because they are safeguarded and monitored by the IAEA, they cannot be used in illicit weapons activities. He says the time has come for direct negotiations between Iran and the United States to resolve the outstanding issues between the two nations. Not with Bush and Cheney in office, it'll never happen. Every day I think, well, you know, nothing could happen today that's going to stun you. So, as Ray McGovern, former CIA operative, writes at consortiumnews.com today, miracles occurred today. An honest NIE on Iran's nuclear program has been issued and its key judgments were made public. The main points of the NIE are this. This is what the U.S. intelligence community released today. We judge that in the fall of 2003, Tehran halted its nuclear weapons program. That's over 4 years ago, or just about 4 years ago. It goes on. We assess with moderate confidence that Tehran has not restarted its nuclear weapons program as of mid-2007. We do not have sufficient intelligence to judge confidently whether Tehran is willing to maintain the halt of its nuclear weapons program indefinitely. We judge with moderate confidence Iran probably would be technically capable of producing enough highly enriched uranium sometime during the 2010-2015 time frame. We judge with high confidence that Iran will not be technically capable of producing and reprocessing enough plutonium for a weapon before about 2015. Ray McGovern goes on to write, having reached these conclusions, it is not surprising that the NIE's authors make a point of saying up front in bold type, this NIE does not assume that Iran intends to acquire nuclear weapons. End quote. And as McGovern writes, this, of course, pulls out the rug from under Cheney's claim of, quote, a fairly robust new nuclear weapons program in Iran. And Bush's assertion that Iranian leaders have even admitted they are developing nuclear weapons. These son of a bitches lie. They lie us into war. They have lied almost 3,000 American soldiers dead, 20,000 American soldiers grievously wounded, hundreds of thousands of Iraqis dead. But it's not an impeachable offense. Son of a bitch. McGovern goes on to write, apparently intelligence community analysts are no longer required to produce the faith-based intelligence that brought us the October 1st, 2002 National Intelligence Estimate that said, quote, Iraq's continuing program for weapons of mass destruction, end quote, which was the worst in the history of U.S. intelligence. Director of National Intelligence Michael McConnell on last February 27th, in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee, said that Iran could develop a nuclear weapon by early to mid next decade. That's what McConnell said. He said not a word, though, about Iran's having halted its nuclear weapons program in the fall of 2003. Are we to believe, then, Truth Seeker, that Michael McConnell, the Director of National Intelligence, did not know that Iran halted its nuclear weapons program 4 years ago? Is that what we're to believe? And in last February, he was still saying, quote, we assess that Iran seeks to develop a nuclear weapon, end quote. These are the kinds of people that we are dealing with. Now, at that point in the testimony, the Republican from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, said, quote, he tried to sum everything up, and he said, quote, well, we all agree then that the Iranians are trying to get nuclear weapons, end quote. You got to remember what Admiral Fallon said, the commander of our forces in the Middle East. Several months ago, he was reported to have said, quote, we are not going to do Iran on my watch, end quote. All the ways you can tell your story.
Fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Again, the announcement today is just stunning in its revelation of the links to which Bush and Cheney will lie us into yet another war. I mean, my God, I can't. This is very difficult for someone like me to get my mind around. I wonder how this affects these right-wing freaks that listen to Fox News or listen to Limbaugh. How do these people, subhuman that they are, how do they deal with the fact that they support a man who would have lied us into a third war? It's just unbelievable. Concerns, of course, about Iran were jumped almost off the chart after Bush suggested a couple of months ago that a nuclear-armed Iran could lead to World War III. Remember that? We got that sound for you. I'll play it for you. I want you to hear what this filthy little bastard said October 17th. Knowing full well that he knew. If he didn't know, he does not belong in the office of the president. He doesn't belong there anyway. But you understand what I'm saying. For a man who claims to be the decider and the commander-in-chief to not have known. Therefore, we have got to believe that the dirty little bastard was lying yet again. Now, here's Bush from October 17th answering a reporter's question. The question is, you definitively believe Iran wants to build a nuclear weapon?
I think so long until they suspend and or make it clear that they that their statements aren't real. Yeah, I believe they want to have the capacity, the knowledge, in order to make a nuclear weapon. And I know it's in the world's interest to prevent them from doing so. I believe that the Iranian, if Iran had a nuclear weapon, it would be a dangerous threat to world peace. We got a leader in Iran who has announced that he wants to destroy Israel. So I've told people that if you're interested in avoiding World War III, it seems like you ought to be interested in preventing them from having the knowledge necessary to make a nuclear weapon.
Oh my God! Oh my God! This man, George Bush. In the history of this country, we have never had anyone play as fast and loose with the truth. In other words, be a lying son of a bitch like this guy. And Cheney. Now, so today, hat in hand, National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley, another filthy liar, steps out to explain how the latest NIE shows Iran has no capability to produce a nuclear weapon, nor has it even made any attempts since 2003? I want you to listen to the next three cuts. Listen to this filthy Stephen Hadley. And remember, lies are always complicated. The truth is usually simple. Didn't your mama teach you that? Didn't your grandmama teach you that? Didn't your Sunday school teacher or your rabbi or somebody teach you? When you tell the truth, you don't have to remember all the hog snot. Lies are always complicated. The truth is usually simple. Here is National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley.
This is a complicated subject, and the new intelligence estimate is a complicated document. The IC has high confidence, that Iran had a covert nuclear weapons program that it has never acknowledged.
Oh, Jesus.
And continues to deny.
Oh, my God.
The intelligence community has high confidence that Iran halted its covert nuclear weapons program in the fall of 2003, and they have moderate confidence that it had not restarted that program as of mid-2007.
Really? Well, what are you saying? You sound like you're standing there saying, we have further proof that they have nuclear bombs. What you are doing is stating that everybody in your filthy administration is a liar. Where's Colin Powell and the palm trees when you need him? Couldn't Condi or Killer Dick conjure up some mushroom clouds real quick so that Bush can send in the troops? Isn't that possible? Now, Hadley gave the statement today, and then he took questions for the press, from the press. Oh, God, where to begin? When we come back from this break, I want you to listen. You are going to hear some stuff from this press briefing today between members of the press corps and Hadley These Q&As are going to rattle your brains. I swear to God, you're going to wonder what in the hell you are listening to. And there's no way that we could present this short of letting you actually hear what Hadley said and how he said it. This is mind-boggling stuff I've got for you coming back. Stay with us. You don't want to miss this.
Well, I know it's only in my head. Not really hearing what you said. Oh, no. never mattered until now. It's a long ride, it's a downside, it's what it's all about. And I think that you better sit this out. And the big lie that solves everything is hanging upon your lips again.
It's in the Gulf Coast country's interest that there be a stable Iran. Iran that is capable of rejecting Iranian influence.
God. Oh, you miserable little rat. All right. So the word got out today, and Stephen Hadley, National Security Advisor, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, had to come out and give his little ridiculous press briefing, and then take questions. And I want you to listen now to the most carefully crafted newspeak uttered since the days of Ari Fleischer. Let us begin. The first reporter says, in 2005, you said they had a nuclear weapons program, whereas you now think they abandoned it or put it aside in 2003. Is it troubling, Mr. Hadley, that the United States was so wrong about what Iran was doing or what its intentions were?
We thought they had that program. We did indeed in 2005.
I said wrong.
We have looked at it and we have determined that indeed they did have a program and a covert program which we had not been able to detect, but we also determined that they had suspended it in 2000 or halted it, which is the term of art, in fall of 2003 in response to international pressure. That's exactly right.
But see, the question is, how did the government get it wrong? And isn't that troubling that it got so wrong over that two-year span?
I don't think it is so wrong. I think it is right. If they had been saying in 2005, not to worry, Iran has no nuclear weapons ambitions, then we would have clearly got it wrong because they did have such a program. I would say to you, they got it right in terms of being concerned about Iran seeking a nuclear weapon.
Does that make any sense to you, Truth Seeker? Oh, it gets worse, trust me. But let's try to tease apart the doublespeak here. The intelligence community, the IC, got it right to be concerned that Iran might someday, say 15 years from now, have a nuclear weapon. But they were wrong in thinking that the program existed in 2005? What the hell does that mean? That they fear they might start it up again in some unknown future? But isn't this the administration that never, ever, ever deals in hypotheticals? The next reporter tries to follow up with Bush's sexed-up tough talk about World War III this past October. Poor Hadley can't even keep his story straight during this briefing. Here's what the reporter says now. Steve, let me follow on this point. If we now estimate with high confidence that the nuclear program was shut down as of 2003, that it was halted. In October of this year, 2007, the president is speaking about the Iranian threat in terms of World War III. Why wouldn't you then conclude that this president is hyping the threat?
Because he was describing the threat as the intelligence community itself had been describing the threat, both publicly and in their briefings to him.
What?
This is challenging information. When the president was told that we had some additional information, he was basically told, stand down, needs to be evaluated, we'll come to you and tell you what we think it means. So this was basically, as we said, this is information that came in the last few months, and the intelligence community spent a lot of time to get on top of it. Secondly, I would disagree with you that the president has ratcheted up the rhetoric. He has said, I have said, other administration officials have said many times, look, we want diplomacy to work.
Ah, for Christ's sake! Now, Hadley just said, when the president was told that we had some additional information, he was basically told, stand down. That's what he just said. Now, I want you to listen to this. The next reporter says, the president, to clarify, you said the president was told to stand down?
No, I said just the opposite. I said the president was told we have some information, that we have some new information, not to stand down.
Stop it! Okay, you heard what this rat bastard just said. Now, go back to number 73. Now, listen to this. The reporter says, why wouldn't you conclude that this president is hyping the threat?
Because he was describing the threat as the intelligence community itself had been describing the threat, both publicly and in their briefings to him. This is challenging information. When the president was told that we had some additional information, he was basically told, stand down, needs to be evaluated.
Okay, stand down. Hadley just said that. 30 seconds later, the press guy says, to clarify, you said the president was told to stand down.
No, I said just the opposite. I said the president was told we have some information, that we have some new information, not to stand down.
Oh, my God.
He said we have some new information. Give us some time to analyze.
Oh, my God!
We will come to you and tell you what we think it means.
Was he told
and
that
that's what he was told. And they, as was briefed by the intelligence community today, they came to their final judgments on Tuesday of last week, and they told the President of the United States on Wednesday.
Was he given that advice before or after the World War III comments?
I have to look.
Is it fair to say that the intelligence came in recent weeks, not recent months? Because this, as we pointed out, the press briefing was late October, when the president was asked definitively, do you believe Iran wants to build a nuclear bomb? And that's where you get, in the second part of that answer, the World War III comment.
Correct.
And so was it recent weeks that this intelligence came in?
What the intelligence community has said is in the last few months. And again,
oh
I would say, if they were working on this information before that quote in October, again, in terms of the point the president was making, he would have made that comment before the intelligence community got this information. He would have made that, I believe, that comment after.
My God, can you understand that? Can you understand that? Can you understand this madman, this psychopathic bastard? Can you? I challenge you. All right, go back to 73. I want you to play that little bit about stand down, and then to 74 about I just said not to stand down. Listen to this.
Because he was describing the threat as the intelligence community itself had been describing the threat, both publicly and in their briefings to him. This is challenging information. When the president was told that we had some additional information, he was basically told, stand down, needs to be evaluated.
Stand down, needs to be evaluated. Right away, the next guy says, well, to clarify then, Stephen, you said the president was told to stand down.
No, I said just the opposite. I said the president was told we have some information, that we have some new information, not to stand down.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is madness. This is not newspeak. This is not 1984. These are people who are literally insane and who feel that their insanity, all they have to do is stand there and contradict themselves and talk, and that the press corps, and obviously these guys are just standing there going, oh, really? And that the American public, that somehow we're supposed to buy this. The president was told to stand down. Oh, he was told to stand down. No, I didn't say that. I said he was told not to stand down. But you just said, no, that's not what I just said. But I have it on tape. No, your tape is wrong. But you just said it. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't.
And it got better. And unfortunately, as I'm sure we'll make national news tomorrow, there's a region-wide internet outage of which we are a part, or I would have gotten you a couple of more quotes from that briefing today. But anyone who does have internet access, not through AT&T, should go hope they're not sponsors, should go check it out at the State Department website or the White House website under briefings and read down to the part where the reporters are saying, but you're contradicting yourself.
It's insane. I mean, this is the absolute apex. This is the top of this pile of garbage that these filthy bastards have heaped on this country for the past 7 years. It's astonishing. The lies. Do you understand this, truth seeker? Do you understand what they've done? So, to sum up, a new U.S. intelligence report says Iran halted its nuclear weapons program in 2003, and it has remained on hold. The Bush administration's assertion that Tehran was building a nuclear weapon is a goddamn lie. The efforts made over the past 2.5 years to convince America to engage in yet a third war was based on lies. Again and again and again. And Nancy Pelosi says impeachment is off the table. Oh my God.
Yet tonight, how much he hates these people. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. All right, let's do some phone calls. I'm just blown away. I mean, I really am blown away. Admiral Fallon and the highest command of the United States military is involved in here to a degree. Until one of them writes his or her memoirs, we'll never know. And even then, we may not know. But remember, the head of all forces in the Middle East, Petraeus's boss, Admiral William Fallon of the United States Navy, had said before, we're not going to do Iran on my watch. And he slow walked the third battle group arriving in the Persian Gulf area. That Cheney had ordered, and in that narrow window, it kind of closed. Had that battle group gotten there, there would have been a tipping point reached, I believe, and I think military experts, of which I'm not one, a tipping point would have been reached with all that hardware, if you want to put it that way, in a certain area. Something's going to tip, and we would have been in the war. So I think one of the unknown, unspoken refuseniks, hero if you want to call him that, but refusenik involved in all this is Admiral William Fallon, who, you remember several months ago, we said that he thought the civilians who were ordering this stuff were out of their freaking minds. And he also made it very clear that there was going to be no attack on Iran on his watch. All right, let's do a few phone calls here, and we... for those of you who are emailing me tonight, I have, and normally I answer. There's no way I can get your emails tonight. There is a five or six states whose internet access and reception and everything. Well, you know, Kathy, you talked to them. What happened?
Bell South.
Bell South screwed it up. You don't have to cover it up. Screw those people.
Actually,
Bell South, AT&T, they're rat bastard. You know,
they're all rat bastards.
This goes on all the time.
I don't know which is which anymore, but I think one bought the other, and I believe it's AT&T that is the culprit at the moment. And
All right, let's do some phone calls here. AJ, the Music Factory, is calling from the Catskills. AJ, welcome to the program.
Hey, handsome, how you doing tonight?
I don't know. I'm ready to, going to get into self-mutilation. I am so freaked out.
Better dead than red, Mike.
Oh, tell me about it.
Yes, sir. Your screaming is like music to my ears. I had to laugh last week when someone made a request of you to at least one rant tonight, please, Mike.
It's like, right.
If you throw the ball, would you please make it come down? Of course, it's part of nature. Of course, you're going to rant about this, but you're going to be surprised. I think you may be surprised to find that I'm not terribly excited about this.
You're not.
No, and I'll tell you why.
Tell me.
Because haven't we been screaming about this for 8 bloody years?
Yes.
When he went in, I've never worked for the State Department, nor has anyone I've ever been affiliated with or associated with. But me and everyone I know said, don't go in. He's lying.
Right.
They're lying.
Right.
Don't do that.
Right.
Don't go that way. Bring him back. Impeach him.
Mm-hmm.
Throw him out. Don't vote for him. We've been screaming about this for 8 years. And now suddenly this report comes out and says what we've been saying all along. So my first thought was not that, son of a bitch. My first thought was they left this report out. Who the hell managed to slip up?
Well, that's the part, you see. I don't think this was a slip-up, AJ. I think there is a... this is the wrong term, but I think there's a counter-revolution going on somewhere deep in the bowels of two agencies of the U.S. government, the intelligence agency and the United States military.
I think
both of these aspects of the U.S. government have had a gutful of these bastards.
Yeah.
And this is their way, instead of a military coup, instead of coming out and saying they have lied us into, they're trying to lie us into a third war, this is the way they're doing it.
Yeah, I think so too, and I think that there are those who will turn on them because they have their own ambitions, and then there are a few that will have the slightest daylight of conscience creep through into their heads,
mm-hmm.
and they will do little things like this to put cracks in that wall. And much like you, you know, when my blood pressure did start to rise is when I contemplated the fact that the press is just sitting there and not saying a word about it. Instead of en masse saying, you know what, Mr. Hadley, Ms. Perino, Mr. Bush, we've had enough. We're going to walk out on you until you promise to tell the truth because we have an obligation.
Mm.
I'm sorry. Why the hell am I even going there? I mean, I'm fantasizing, right? You know, we know what this press is about.
Right.
So anyway, you know, like I said, it was a big ho hum to me. It was a big yeah. I mean, we've been screaming about this. I'll scream tomorrow about something, I'm sure. But as these things finally do come out, and the oatmeal heads in this country are going to go, whoa, he lied to us. Like, yeah, well, yeah, Jesus Christ, we've been saying this for 8 years.
Well, I'm on the same page with you, AJ. Obviously, it was not a revelation to me. What was astonishing to me was that it got out, that it deliberately got out, that a national intelligence estimate was made public.
Yeah.
And as Ray McGovern said today at consortiumnews.com, not only did the intelligence people tell the truth for once, but it got out. It got out. It got out on the same day that they released it. And what is mind scrambling to me is the extent to which these sons of bitches in the Bush administration have been lying to us for months, if not years, to try to whip us into another war.
Yes, sir.
That's the part that is just mind-boggling. Hey, AJ, I got to go. Thanks for checking in, Bill. Thanks for holding on as long as you did. We'll talk again. All right, Truth Seekers, we got a break here. We can come back and take your phone calls. I'd like to hear what you got to say about this topic. And we got a couple open lines, I think. 800-989-1480. Join us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. You know what we're talking about? Let's take a few more calls here. Susan is calling from Overland Park, Florida. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. Otherwise known as Oakland Park, Florida, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it was a bad connection when I talked to Ian.
Oakland Park, okay. Yeah, Overland Park is in Kansas. I should know that.
And it was a long time ago.
That's true. Yeah, you've been holding on forever, I know.
First of all, in case anybody cares, to clear this up, wasn't it Mr. I don't know how to spell potato head, Quayle?
Yeah, Dan Quayle, that's right.
Who was John F. Kennedy clone.
And who is the Democratic candidate? I've forgotten
God.
His name completely. He was a senator from Texas, and I complete. Oh well, never mind. But thanks for the Dan Quayle part.
Should have asked the first an hour ago. I would have thought about it.
And you know, as stupid as Dan Quayle is, he was also one of the signers of the PNAC statement, the Project for New American Century. He's one of the neocons who wanted Clinton to invade Iraq back in the 90s.
I know, but somebody must have told him, just here, sign this.
Yeah.
he wasn't that bright.
Oh, God.
You know, I read over the air about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, a couple of sentences from Scott Ritter's book, mm-hmm. Target Iran.
Yes.
Remember where he basically laid out the case that there is no case for nuclear weaponry. There is nuclear power
mm-hmm.
development in Iran, which every sovereign nation, and we all know what sovereign means thanks to Georgie, it means they're sovereign, that every nation has a right to develop nuclear energy. That's the term I was searching for,
mm-hmm.
Which is what they have been developing. And since they hope to join the larger world community and trade with, first and foremost, Europe, they are not jeopardizing anything by trying to develop nuclear weapons, at least not at this time.
No, and they're not Islamists. They're not like
they're Persians.
Yeah, well, first of all, they're Persians, exactly.
Right.
And secondly, their brand of Islam, while it might be a little bit radical to us because of you know, we keep thinking about 1979. Whereas the Iranians keep thinking about 1953, so it's crazy to say that the Iranians are equal to Taliban, for example, or equal to madrasas, or equal these crazed people like the ones in Sudan who want to chop someone's head off because they named a teddy bear Muhammad. The Iranians are not that way.
No, and what people also have to realize is that much like our leader, Ahmadinejad has no power to do anything.
That's
the
right.
The president
he
of Iran is just a figurehead.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
He's there, and we have ours.
mm-hmm.
I was going to ask why you thought the NIE had been, the release of it had been delayed for almost 10 months, I guess. You mentioned February,
mm-hmm.
and it's just coming out now. But your first caller, and you took care of that, and I pretty much agree with it, that, you know, they were just looking for an excuse and a provocation mm-hmm. to go over and bomb Iran. And when the plans didn't go through, I guess they figured there was no sense in delaying the NIE anymore, especially when, as Bush has said in the past, they're just guessing.
Well,
Do you remember a prior NIE where he made that comment?
Yeah, I sure do.
I don't remember the topic of it, but he dismissed it as they're only guessing.
Bin Laden determined to strike in the U.S.?
Not sure. That was a PDB.
Oh, that was a PDB. Okay, yeah, that's true.
I don't remember the topic or the estimate.
Yeah, well, again, as I told AJ, what was mind-boggling to me was the fact that this got out, when it got out.
Uh-huh.
I honestly believe now... you know, Bush or Cheney never would have released this had people been holding guns to their heads. They would have said it didn't exist. The fact that this intelligence estimate got out and got out as quickly as it did, and by that I mean I think the intelligence community has been telling the Bush crime family for months that Iran had no intent or a capacity to make nuclear weapons. Of course they want to make nuclear power, but maybe it's because they don't want to rely on oil or natural gas. Maybe they're a little bit more enlightened than the Bush crime family would like to admit. So the fact that it got out, the information got out today, when it got out with all this talk about war, and I think Bush's World War III comment made it very clear to people inside the military and people inside the intelligence community, this guy is out of his mind. It is time that we get this information out. That's what I believe.
That's very possible. It's also maybe the fact that the Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson case has been thrown out and probably will take another year before it ever gets to another court or mm-hmm. to decide if they can even bring a case had something mm-hmm. to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
It just, the problem with you and me and most, not all, but most of your listeners is that we deal in logic and reality. And as they have said, you know, mm-hmm. fill in the blanks. They don't deal in the reality-based world.
Yeah, it's the faith-based world, so to speak. Susan, thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in, okay?
Oh, you're welcome. All good evening.
All right, you take care. Take care. It's just, you know, it has to be infuriating to anyone in this country except these brain-dead, useless, moonbat right-wingers. To everyone else, I mean, how can it not be infuriating, enraging, to think that we have an administration that would lie once, twice, take us into war, and attempt to really push the third one, really push it, against a country of 90 million people, a country in which Halliburton and Cheney were doing business up to about 2 months ago. For no reason. These rat bastards keep taking us into wars for no reason except power. This is sick. Back to your phone calls. Kelly is calling from Wichita Falls, Kansas. Hey, Kelly, welcome to the program.
Actually, it's Wichita Falls, Texas, Mike. Thanks.
Okay, my bad. Sorry.
No problem. Texas, yeah, right. Also, it was Lloyd Benson, speaking of Texas.
Thank you. Lloyd Benson. Damn, I'll tell you, getting old is not for sissies, because you really start to forget stuff. I just couldn't remember Lloyd Benson's name. And since we have like a multi-state computer outage here, I couldn't Google it and find out who in the hell it was. But it was Lloyd Benson who so eloquently turned Dan Quayle into a pretzel.
Dan Potato, yes, Potato Head.
Right.
Yep, definitely. Well, listen, I was just listening to the show, and I'm kind of catching the tail end, but yeah, this Hadley guy, he's a piece of work, I swear. The whole Bush crime family, but this guy, he needs to be put up there. You know, when the lights go out, you want Limbaugh?
Yeah.
I want this guy.
I hear you.
I swear to God. It's just unreal. And you know, it infuriates me that these guys, these neocons are in bed with these AIPAC people. And you know, if it wasn't for that, man, they've gotten so damn strong and they're so well moneyed. You know, we have, basically our foreign policy getting dictated by AIPAC. And I don't want to be accused of being an anti-Semite because I'm not. But you know, I just, this Zionist nonsense, you know, you have these Christian freaks, these faith-based folks that want to get in bed with our Jewish friends and convince them that
Kelly, let me put you on hold for a second, because we got to do a break here, and I want you to continue, but I got to put you on hold. We'll come back after this break and pick it up again. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Hush now, Mama, forget Osama, Kabul and Kandahar.
Thank you, Dad.
My
my brother made sure I won in war.
Boom, boom, boom. Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk, and I love the way you talk. When you walk that walk, and you talk that talk, you knocks me out.
We tend to forget. I mean, ours is a society where things are like instant, so therefore history almost is like so far back it doesn't count.
Bang, bang, bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang.
21 past the hour. Let's go back to Kelly calling in from Wichita Falls, Texas. All right, Kelly, where were we?
Hello?
Yeah, okay, Kelly, where were we?
I was just talking about Hadley and how he gives talks to AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee.
Right, right.
You know, and how they're just part of our problem is that, you know, and they're so crazy for war with Iraq. They're crazy with using our military. You know, here's a PAC using our government and our military, or they're trying to promote that, the use of them for a Israeli agenda, basically, of eliminating the mean, bad, you know, Arabs, you know. And it just sickens me how unbalanced our whole approach, our whole foreign policy is. Mm-hmm. In favor of Israel and against Arabs, and you know, and there's never going to be peace if we always just, you know, tilt or stack the deck against any fair and honest discussion and any attempts at really true diplomacy. And these guys like Hadley and the Bush crime family, they all, you know, they're all just they're all guilty of this kind of a, you know, it's just a gross, I don't know, miscarriage of fairness and what's wrong with. Our policies.
Yeah, yeah, it absolutely. Kelly, thanks. I appreciate what you had to say. The you know, the use of we used Israel during the Cold War, and the Russians used, or the Soviets used, the Arab speaking community. Just like we used the South Vietnamese, the Soviets used the North Vietnamese, and on and on and on and on. But somewhere along the line, the Israelis started using the United States. And, you know, not it's not exclusively one way or the other between the U.S. and Israel. But it is a bad deal for the United States. I guess it's a good deal for Israel. If the Israelis consider that their survival is at stake, then obviously they want a multi-warhead, a nuclear warhead equipped country like the United States on their side. Although the Israelis have enough nuclear weapons to wipe out the entire Middle East, but that's the rub, is that they're in the Middle East too. You know, to use nuclear weapons in Syria will never happen. The Israelis using nuclear weapons in Syria will never happen for obvious reasons. It'll never happen. Israelis using nuclear weapons in Saudi Arabia will never happen. The Israelis using nukes in Egypt will never happen. Not in a first strike capacity for obvious reasons. Because once they use them, they too are wiped out. Nuclear weapons are a fool's, it's a fool's game. Nobody wins. The Israelis are not stupid. They understand that. So the nuclear weapons have always been there as a deterrent. Always been there as a deterrent. If you attack us in a certain way, we will turn your country into glass. We may die too, but you sons of bitches will go find your 72 virgins. Trust us! That's, so as far as the Israelis using their nukes in an offensive capacity, of course not. Of course not. So what they have relied on is the psychosis of the United States. You know, you talk about a situation that is perverted beyond belief is the U.S.-Israel approach to the Middle East. And it's getting to the point now where even someone like Ehud Olmert, the Israeli Prime Minister, has come to the realization that if a two-state solution is not found real quick, then Israel is going to cease to exist. And nobody is going to throw bombs. And nobody's going to send an invading army. There is something much more effective, and that's the demographic bomb that is ticking in the Middle East. So, the thing that has frosted me all these years has been the utter intransigence of the United States in trying to bring about a peaceful solution. We have used that situation in the Middle East in the same way that the Soviets used that situation in the Middle East. In the meantime, the Israelis get their little bit out of it, and so have the Arab states, all except the Palestinians. You know, eventually, as anyone with more than a fifth grade education will tell you, eventually, when you're playing that kind of game, eventually the chickens do come home to roost. Eventually, what you sow comes back as the harvest, and you reap chaos. And by God, it's beginning to happen. And in the meantime, you know, all these little Christian germs in this country, the fundamentalist Christian virus that has so sickened this country, has maintained their close allegiance with Israel, knowing full well that in their doctrine, when the time comes, if the Jews don't say, hey, just kidding, we accept Jesus, that the Christians will, with a smile on their face, cut the throats of the Jews. It's so sick.
I have come to teach the world about democracy. I'm running on the legs of responsibility.
The Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to Right Wing Radio, God kills a kitten.
It's about 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Beth is calling from Minneapolis. Beth, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey.
I noticed that Valerie Plame, whose job it was to get data, get intelligence on Mideast countries who were going nuclear, was outed in 2003, the same year that this intelligence report says that Iran stopped its nuclear testing,
right,
or nuclear development.
Right.
Everything that comes out reinforces everything else in this administration.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. And it all to me is about looting. It's about looting the Middle East. It's about looting our country. I saw on book TV this weekend two writers who wrote a book called Thirst, and it was about the water wars that are coming up, where municipalities are selling out the public interest to private corporations, and the most basic of this is water.
Mm-hmm.
But we see it all over the country. Before our Republican legislator was kicked out here in the last election in Minnesota, the Republicans were talking about making toll roads around the Twin Cities instead of investing in our infrastructure. We would have had a Democratic governor too, but at the very last minute, ironically, a Texas home builder sent the Pawlenty, the Republican governor's campaign, $500,000. And he is the one who now is standing in the way of a special session being called to finance a new bridge,
mm-hmm,
to replace the collapsed one over 35W. He wants to bring in an out-of-state construction company that whose bid is higher than any of the others, and not hire any local companies.
Mm-hmm.
You just see this over and over and over, where I think they're, the Republicans not only want to wring the government out so that there isn't any money to run it, they want to wring the municipalities out so that they have to, so that there has to be a fire sale mm-hmm. on our public holdings.
You're absolutely right, and looting is the proper word. I was listening today to several reports, and we may get to this tomorrow, about how the Food and Drug Administration is admitting members of that agency are admitting that they cannot fulfill the function that they are constituted to fulfill because they don't have enough inspectors. And, of course, the reason they don't have enough inspectors is because when you go back to the Reagan era, you will find that inspectors were cut. And in Bush 2 or Bush 1, and during the Clinton years, it was kind of ignored. And now in Bush 2, it's to the point where there's something like 200 or 300 inspectors are supposed to be doing the job that would normally require 3,000 or 4,000 inspectors. So of course the American public is going to get poison food and poison drugs. It's just astonishing what these bastards have done.
Well, how about this woman who is the head of the consumer products
industry? Yes.
She doesn't want more money. She doesn't want more inspectors. I'm gonna scream.
Right, and she takes junkets paid for by the agencies that she's supposed to regulate.
It's also dirty, Mike. It's also dirty.
Oh my God! It's beyond belief.
No wonder Americans are on antidepressants and sleeping medicines. We're just going crazy here.
We ought to just set aside the antidepressants and the sleeping medicine and go for the fourth box. I swear to God, it's just getting more and more and more in that direction.
Well, you know, I believe that the intelligence community is, as you say, trying to get the word out. And I don't believe that they want insurrection. I think they want the end of this too. So I don't know. As an activist, I do what I can, and mm-hmm. it's limited. But as Margaret Mead said, the world changes one person at a time. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you, Beth. I appreciate you checking in. Appreciate your input. Looting. They really have. They've looted the treasury of this country. They have looted the reservoir in this country of decent feelings of American toward American. I mean, we had our differences. But you go back to the Clinton era, that's when these right-wing sons of bitches, these vermin, started the process of looting this country of whatever reservoir of faith, good faith in each other. We may have had our political differences. We may have stood up on our hind legs and said, you know, Democrats are crazier than loons, or Republicans are moonbats. But there was still a reservoir someplace to which we could all turn to when things got really, really, really weird and say, okay, yeah, Democrats are crazy, or yeah, Republicans are moonbats, but, you know, just right now, let's get over this because we got a bigger problem. That's gone. They have looted that reservoir. Our treasury, our reservoir of decency toward each other, the global reservoir of goodwill, as misplaced as it has been historically many times, but that reservoir of goodwill towards the United States, that's totally gone. The United States Treasury, where it concerns international or global monetary situation, they have destroyed that. In my lifetime, or in my reading of history of this country, 230 years, I've never seen anything like this ever, where one administration has illegitimately come into power. As surely as if the sons of bitches would have imposed a military takeover or a dictatorship, a political takeover, which they surely did, came into power that way, then rigged elections in order to stay in power, and in the process of being in power have utterly and absolutely corrupted and befouled and destroyed this country. I've never seen anything like this. Is there one section, element, segment, part of this country that these pigs have not defiled, corrupted, smashed, broke, ruined, looted. Is there one? Somebody tell me. You right-wing bastards that listen to this program, come on, call in. Tell me one thing that your piggish party and your degenerate president and vice president hasn't looted, destroyed about this country. Call me. Tell me, you cowardly bastards. Call me. Tell me. Yeah. Sure. Mark is calling from Georgia. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey. Mike, by the way, I love you. You know that, of course. So
I know that, Mark.
Okay. let me speak here. I'm not a right-winger, but let me try to defend what they're,
okay.
They're, you know, okay. See, God is behind everything they do.
Yeah, okay. So, I forgot about that.
See, now that's the whole explanation. See, Jesus is behind everything they do. So they don't have to answer petty little questions. Like, they don't have to be based on logic. Logic, that's sin. That's rationality. That's reason.
That's true.
That's secularism.
It is secularism. Yes.
See, that's how they think. About this Iran thing. One more thing. I really believe that Israel's not really as important to Bush as his paymasters in Saudi Arabia. See, I think.
Oh, I agree. I agree. Bush would throw the Israelis into a vat of boiling oil, given half a chance.
Yeah, I know he would. I mean, his masters are
and you
in
know
Saudi
what?
Arabia.
And you know what? The Israelis know that as
yeah.
well as much better than you and I do.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
they do too.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you something. First, his buddies in Saudi Arabia are more important than anything.
Oh, absolutely.
But this exposure of Iran and its the lies this administration has been telling us for years. The CIA has been trying to warn the United States for a long time about Bush. Because remember the books that came out prior to the 2004 elections?
I do, yes.
By ex-CIA agents who could only have released this. They have to sign forms, you know.
Right.
The CIA, and this has been some speculation from other people as well, the CIA actually wanted to Bush out because they were frightened of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they were giving approval to these people to publish these books at a faster pace than would ordinarily happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, we didn't take the bait, and we let... Well, I don't want to go into that. That's just too depressing a subject. I have to think that's next to my father dying. In all seriousness, the re-election of George W. Bush was the second worst day of my life.
I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. I couldn't believe it either. And I knew, as you knew, as most thinking Americans knew, it was totally a fraud.
Yeah.
It was not a re-election. It was, in the first place, he had no business being there. But in the second place, the second one was stolen as surely as the first one was.
In Ohio. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, listen, got a break. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in, Mark. Take care, okay? We'll talk again. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Ten before the hour, thanks to our very adroit crew tonight under some adverse situations here with a region-wide internet blackout, you all made the program sound like nothing untoward was happening. Thanks to Ian Huff, our engineer, Billy Foster, our technical director, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Thanks to everybody for a very good job tonight under some weird conditions. Back to your phone calls SK is calling from L.A. SK finally got up the nerve to call the program. How you doing, pal?
Mike?
SK?
Hey, what's up, man?
You are.
It's your BFF in L.A.
Yeah, I'm hip.
So what's up with your ISP, bro?
We are disabled. We are flying blind. We have broken.
You were trying to talk about the NIE, right?
We have broken wings tonight, but we
well,
are.
You know what? I got a new job, man.
You do what?
I'm working with the FCC and the DOJ, and I had to take a report on your THC level since they took down your wattage, man. They totally blew it.
Yeah, they did.
They didn't realize what they were doing.
They did not.
No. Okay. So reading number one. Before we get serious, because I need to talk about the NIE, but these field readings, like it's always been, they're mandatory.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do to stop them.
There is nothing.
It's all paperwork. It's guesswork in white coats.
It is indeed.
You know,
yeah.
Man with two brains. It's
yes.
That kind of logic. Cats in the surgery room. Anyway, all right, here we go. Reading number one.
Okay, SK.
Hey, no. This is mandatory, dude.
I realize you're
calling. We have to do this. DFD.
I realize you're
NFS.
WMD. I realize
you're WW3.
You're calling
Fubar.
From L.A.
FOAD. Mike.
Yes.
WM.
WM. All right, SK.
I'm sorry.
What else you got on? Your mind?
The new NIE report will force the hand of the neocons.
It will?
They can only continue with their agenda if a false flag event is successful in fooling Americans into believing we have been attacked from the outside.
Yeah.
Watch your back, truth seekers.
Oh, I'm hip. Watch your front, too.
They are now truly in a corner. Remember the behavior exhibited by animals that feel trapped in a corner.
All right, SK. Thank you.
SK. I had to do it.
You did it.
Bye.
And I appreciate it. SK, thanks. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. I love my listeners in L.A. They have gone all wobbly since we are no longer on KTLK. But we may go back. Woo! Terry is calling from Minnesota, from St. Paul. Terry, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Glad to talk to you again.
My pleasure.
I think that NIE report is just nothing but mumbo-jumbo.
You think?
That's all it is.
What do you think the truth is, then?
What about the peace officers in Iraq? What they need, it's just another reason. I mean, they wanted to go in Iran a long time ago. They're just keeping, you know, they got to get the $50 billion. They got to have more reasons to extend it, and they just have incompetent liars now. You know, back in the '70s, they had pretty good liars, but now, I mean, they can't even do that right.
They can't even lie right.
But you know, if there's any senators out there, even the presidential candidates, why don't they come out? Why don't they bring the word impeachment? But you know, nobody's holding them down. Why don't they just say,
mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you know, I think we should impeach. You know, the crowd would cheer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd be applauding. I mean, we're way past, you know, where we should be.
We're way past midnight. And you know, I agree with you. I miss the liars from the '70s. At least back in the '70s, the liars that their lies were almost credible. You could almost compliment them for putting together well structured. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I kind of lies that would somehow require a certain amount of perverted logic to follow them. This crew doesn't do anything. They just go right for the gut, right for the bowel. Their lies are so monumentally insane. I miss the liars from the '70s. You're absolutely right, Terry.
But it's just... I've got all the senators' names there, all the numbers, all the addresses. I mean, I could go through and call them again. I don't know what to do. Should I call up Harry Reid? Should I call, you know, who should I call up to try to get this going again?
Harry Reid is a waste of time.
I know, yeah.
Nancy Pelosi is a waste of time. I don't know what to do. Maybe sending emails to everybody on the House Judiciary Committee might help. Don't waste your time with senators. There's nothing senators can or will do.
I went on the website impeachgeorgebush.com, and I had to get an email, and I got that going, and then I put in a stately written letter, and you know, so yeah. I couldn't, you know, I talked a little bit, but not that much. But Mike, man, you're I consider you a friend, and you're good. You're good. I like it.
Well, Terry, just whatever you do, and I've been telling a lot of friends about this off the air. Whatever you do, don't go crazy. We're going to need everybody's mental capacity here fairly quickly. So whatever you do, Terry, when you feel those little fingers of insanity starting to clutch at your brain, don't do it. Don't do it. I mean, I have to fight it off at least once or twice a week, if not once or twice a day.
Yeah.
So don't go insane.
2000 and 2004 were two bad times.
I'm hip. But 2008 may start the turnaround. It's going to take 30 years, and I won't be here to see the complete turnaround, but you will. So, Terry, don't go insane, okay?
All right. Take care, Mike. I really appreciate you.
All right, man.
Talking.
All right. We'll talk again. We'll talk again, Terry. Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's the prime directive. Don't go insane, okay? Don't go insane. Don't anybody go insane. Going to need you. Jesus, what a night. We'll see you tomorrow night, Truth Seekers. We'll see you tomorrow night. Honest to God, we will. Take care, okay? Please take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.